day in and day out. We ask that you open our eyes now as we look into your word together. Touch our hearts where you know we need to be touched. In the precious name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. I'd like you to take your bulletin and turn with me to the next to the last page, the view from my place. And I want to start by reading this and having you read along silently with me as we launch this month's series, which is all about joy. It's about the gospel, but it is about the gospel as good news. And so let's just take a look at our view from my place. I want to read this to start us off. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for. Sure of what we hope for. And certain of what we do not see. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. What an amazing gift is faith. No other created being has ever had the privilege, like us, of experiencing the supernatural power of connecting with our Creator through faith. Faith is God's exclusive endowment to human beings, and only for a limited time. It is only for our stay on earth. Yes, we sometimes sputter through our days, wishing we either had a stronger octane of faith or hills that weren't so steep. Trust me, I know. One of my favorite things to say to someone who doubts my suffering credentials is, you give me an emotion and I'll give you a story.
Say it. I like that.
Life is a gift, but it is not easy. We tend to live our lives subconsciously fearing what can go wrong instead of anticipating things going well.
Amen.
And this is not without cause. Who hasn't been zapped by the unexpected? Faith gives us stability in an unpredictable, shaky, and sometimes absurd world. It's the archway we stand under when everything else is quaking. It is there for us to use at all times. We don't need to see any specific results in order to have it. We don't need to have any particular feelings or be in any particular mood. We don't need to have the resolution of any situation or the right set of circumstances. Life can be whatever it is.
Amen.
And we can still accept the truth that he exists and is always with us. And when we accept that truth, our faith supernaturally becomes the pipeline through which flows the joy, hope, and surpassing peace of believing. We can trust God to always reward our faith, sometimes by changing our circumstances and sometimes allowing the circumstances to remain so it produces even more precious gifts. Faith, rightly placed, brings with it contentment with either. It makes us secure in his love, and we are no longer bullied by fear. Biblical faith is not blind. On the contrary, its eyes are wide open and focused on the living Christ.
Yes, thank you, Father.
I want to develop that more this morning in our message, which is titled, The Most Precious Joy. The most precious joy is eternal joy. The most precious joy is eternal joy. Our text this morning is Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. You're taking notes. Philippians 3, 1 and 4, 4. Philippians 3, 1 and Philippians 4, 4. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard for you. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard for you. And then in chapter 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. In the book of Zechariah, chapter 2, verses 10 and 11, we read these words. Shout and be glad, O daughter of Zion, for I am coming, and I will live among you, declares the Lord. Many nations will be joined with the Lord in that day, and will become my people. I will live among you, and you will know that the Lord Almighty has sent me to you. Now these are the words of Jesus, spoken through the prophet Zechariah about 500 years before Jesus was physically born on earth. This is Jesus speaking about his coming to the earth. And he says, I want you to shout and be glad because I'm coming and I'm going to live among you. There are many prophecies that talk about the Lord coming to dwell upon earth. And he is the source of our joy. He is the source of our celebration day in and day out. These words were partially fulfilled when Jesus came the first time. They will be totally fulfilled when he comes the second time. But if you're taking notes, here's the main idea, and I've only got this idea, and I've got much to say about it. But it's just this idea. What did the pastor talk about? Everything that I've said prior to this, and everything I'm going to say after this, revolves around this one thought. Do not. This is not a to-do. This is a to-do-not. Do not allow any earthly event to overshadow the joy of your eternal life in Christ.
My goodness, my goodness.
Do not allow any earthly event to overshadow the joy of your eternal life in Christ. And I do mean any. There are no exceptions. And I know that life can be tough.
Say it, Pastor.
And I know there are losses. And I know there are hurts. And I know there are disappointments. And I know there are times when prayers seem to go unanswered. And I know there are times when reading the scripture, the words seem flat. And I know there are times when you feel like you're bumping your head up against a brick wall. And I know there are times when you are praying and seeking the Lord and he seems distant or non-existent. And I know there are times when you can't make it work the way you want it to work, no matter how hard you work it. You give me an emotion, and I'll give you a story. And still I say, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say,
rejoice.
Rejoice.
Yes, indeed. Got you.
Do not let any earthly event overshadow the joy of your eternal life in Christ. Philippians is not the only place this point is made. In 1 Chronicles 16:10, it says, glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. In the book of Nehemiah, he saw that the people were sad, and he said, don't be sad, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. In Psalm 32, rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Sing, all you who are upright in heart. Psalm 40 says, but may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you, and may those who love your salvation always say, the Lord be exalted.
Amen.
Psalm 64:10, let the righteous rejoice in the Lord and take refuge in him. Let all the upright in heart praise him. Habakkuk 3:18, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. And that precedes all of his expectations being dashed. You go to Habakkuk 3 and you read that. He says these words after things that he had every right to expect that they would turn out, did not. He planted figs, but there were no figs. Took care of the sheep and the cattle, but there weren't any. Things did not turn out. And he says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. In Luke 17, in Luke chapter 10, the 72 were sent out by Jesus on a mission, and they returned with joy after healing the sick and seeing demons cast out. And they came back to Jesus and they said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. And it says they were filled with joy. And he replied to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I've given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you. But rejoice that your names are written in heaven. See, brothers and sisters, when it all boils down, that's what Christmas is all about.
Exactly.
This is the reason for the season, and this is the only reason why I'm hammering this particular point as we launch this season. Mm-hmm. Many things we're going to talk about this month in the context of the gospel. What it is, we're going to look at the anatomy of the gospel and exactly what happened. We're going to make some parallels between that and Hebrews that we're studying on Thursday night. It's an amazing thing, the gospel. John 3:16 is just, that's just sort of the prelude. But when you get down into what the gospel is, that's some heavy stuff. I mean, that's some mind-boggling stuff. As familiar as we are with it, whoo! Am I telling the truth, Hebrew studiers on Thursday night?
Talk about it.
I'm telling you.
Yes,
so we're going to get into it all, but this is the bottom line. The bottom line is, it's about Jesus Christ and our names being written in heaven. That's why he came. The gospel is good news. It's our hope. It's our foundation. It's our stability when everything is crazy.
Yes, yes.
It's not based on the revocable promises of people. See, people can promise you a lot of stuff. You ever been promised something? And like Karen Carpenter says, if all my friends have forgotten all their promises, they're not unkind, just hard to find. Like that investment agent that came to our house to talk to us about how he wanted to be there for us and monitor our fun. And he's not like the others who came and left. He's going to really be overseeing it. It's a good thing my wife was overseeing him.
Right. Exactly.
Because his oversight was costing us money. The little we had.
My.
But you see, these promises, the promise of eternal life, that is wrapped up in the person Jesus. It's not like the revocable promises of people. It's based on the promises of God himself and fulfilled by God himself. Nothing can change it. Nothing can repudiate it. Nothing on earth can separate us from it. And Jesus directed us to rejoice in it. The New Testament writers instructed us to fix our hope completely on it. It's the heart of our faith.
Amen.
It's a supernatural transaction between the living God and mankind. And it's summed up in one word, Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus is God's final word. There won't be another one. No more plans. No amendments. Jesus is God's final word to mankind. He is every man's last chance to get right with God.
Say that again.
He's the last chance to get right with God. In fact, he's the only chance.
That's right.
He's the only way to get right with God. See, the good news is that as we're studying Hebrews in our Thursday night Bible study, Jesus took care of business for us with God.
Amen.
And he did it perfectly. He did it completely. And he did it eternally. I was talking with my wife, Laverne, the other day as we were sitting at the dinner table, and I asked her, I said, have you ever just stopped to think that at one time you were spiritually dead and held captive in the dominion of darkness? Doesn't that sound awful?
Yeah.
You were dead.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
You had no spiritual life at all. You were disconnected from the life of God.
Yeah.
That tie was severed, dead, like a dead phone line.
Right.
Way back in the day when there were phone lines.
Exactly.
There was no connection. There was no busy signal. There was no fast, busy, there was no dial tone, there was nothing. The line was dead. No connection between you and God. And in fact, the scripture says you were his enemy. There are no good people. Everyone disconnected from God is his enemy. And it gets worse. The scripture says the wrath of God was abiding on us. We were all dead and captives in the dominion of darkness. You may have been religious all your life. You may have gone to church all your life. You may not be able to remember a time when you did not think about God for all of your life. But every person in here was at one time, separate from God, dead and captive in the dominion of darkness. You may not remember when it happened, and you may not remember how it happened, but the reason you're here today and the reason you're singing praises to God today is because you were rescued.
Hallelujah. Thank
you. You didn't escape.
Thank you.
You were rescued.
Yes.
The scripture says he rescued us
yes.
from the domain of darkness.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank
and translated us into the kingdom of his beloved Son.
Yeah.
Amen.
He took us who were dead in our sins, dead, no connection, and he rewired it. In fact, he gave us the latest in technology of connection.
Mm.
He restored our connection with the living God.
Yes.
Mm. So rejoice in the Lord.
Yes.
Why? Nothing's going to happen today. Nothing's going to happen tomorrow or for the rest of your life that's going to change what Jesus has done for you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And what you have been given in him. Nothing's going to happen tomorrow. We don't know what it is. Nothing's going to happen the day after that. Nothing's going to happen today that is going to change the fact that you've been rescued and now you are a member of God's forever family. And Jesus says, rejoice that your names are written in heaven.
Amen.
Days are going to be different.
Yes, sir.
But rejoice that your names are written in heaven.
Amen.
Don't let anything overshadow your joy, the joy of your eternal life. Darren, Brother Darren over here, Broadnax, he was posting on Facebook. We've become Facebook friends. And he posted this thing. And as I said to you, if you post it on Facebook, I'm going to preach on it.
I know that's
good.
Right.
There ain't no privacy on Facebook.
Yeah.
You need to know that. But he posted, he said, I've decided to put myself up for adoption. Anybody want me?
I like that.
I decided to put myself up for adoption. Anybody want me? And I wrote back, wait a minute. You've already been adopted.
Well.
And the proof is Ephesians 1:5. He predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. Now, he didn't just adopt you because he had an obligation.
Mm-hmm.
You see, it says he did it in accordance with his pleasure and his will.
Yes.
Amen.
Isn't that great?
That's
not just
awesome.
The will, but his pleasure.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Don, it is my pleasure, he said to you, to adopt you as my son.
My goodness.
Praise the Lord.
It is my pleasure to rescue you from the domain of darkness.
My goodness.
And translate you into the kingdom of my beloved Son.
Thank
Hallelujah.
You.
It is my pleasure to welcome you as my beloved son, as my beloved brother, as my beloved child.
Yeah.
Mm.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus.
I came to Christ through Christians who were part of an evangelistic church. And they went out personally, one-on-one, talking to people about how to be saved. And so when I became a Christian and I became a part of the church, that's what I did. And in fact, I thought that's what a Christian was.
Right.
I didn't think that there was any such thing as a Christian who didn't go door to door talking to people about how to come to know Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
That was my imprint as a brand new believer. Preach. Just what a Christian did.
Right.
You know? Police officers drive cars and carry guns and sticks. Christians walk around and talk to people about Jesus. And we put a great deal of emphasis on that. A lot of people came to know Jesus because of it.
Amen.
One of the things that I was trained to do in terms of helping people to come to know Jesus was to ask what we called at that time diagnostic questions. And there were two of them.
Amen.
And these were questions that would help us to determine where a person was at spiritually. Because you ask the person, are you saved? Oh, yeah.
Right.
Well, then how do you know?
Right.
What do you ask them? Well, how do you, I mean, do you just accept that at face value? Or how do you determine that if you were in a conversation with someone? So these diagnostic questions were designed to trim the fat from the meat. And to really get down to what this is about. So the first question was, are you absolutely certain that if you were to die tonight, you would go to heaven? And you would say, absolutely. 100%. Not a doubt in your mind. Firmly convinced and convicted that if you were to die tonight, when you opened your eyes, you would be in the presence of the living God, welcome into his eternal glory. Are you 100% certain? And the second question was this. If they said yes, then you would ask the second question. And if they said no, then you didn't need to ask the second question. You could just get into the gospel with
them
and tell them how they could be sure. But the second question was this. Suppose you were to die tonight, and you could embellish it however you wanted to ask the question. Say, suppose a bus hit you, or suppose, you know, a meteor fell down, or you just dropped dead on the way from this meeting, which you could. Say you were to die, and you were to stand before God, and he was to ask you, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you say to him? I really wish someone had asked me that question when I was 16 or 15 or 14 or 13. They didn't ask me that question until after I was, you know, much older. And because of that, many people thought that I was a believer, and I was not. I was still trapped in the domain of darkness. I was still dead, but I had religious answers. Because I've been raised in church.
Right.
So I can say Jesus died for my sins, and I can say I had the slogan.
Right, there you go. There you go.
I knew all the right things. But I didn't know the right person. I knew the right vernacular.
That's it. Yeah.
But if they asked me that question, what would you say? My answer would have been something like this. I would say, well, I tried my best. I go to church. I was raised in church. I used to sing in the choir.
Right. Likewise. Yeah.
I'd say, I try hard, real hard to do the right thing. I pray. I pray. And I'm not as bad as him. I'm a good person. Good being measured by a relative standard based upon how that person is.
Right.
And the worse I got, the worse the example I found to prepare myself to. But if they'd asked that question, I would not have had a clear answer.
Right.
Tell it.
It would have been muddled.
Tell it.
But I'm clear today.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yeah.
Praise.
I'm clear today.
No question.
And maybe you've been muddled.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Maybe you're still muddled. Maybe you don't know what you would say, but I'm going to tell you what God wants you to be able to say.
Come on.
And I'm just going to read this from 1 John chapter 5. And I'm looking at verse 11. And it says this, and this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life. Here it is. You don't have to guess. You don't have to hope. They'd ask me that first diagnostic question, are you 100% certain you'd go to heaven? I'd say, I hope so. I'm trying. Doing my best.
Yep.
Praying I'll get there one day, because I would have thought it arrogant to say, I know I'm going to heaven.
Yes.
That person's full of pride. What is that?
Same.
You sure ain't going.
Yeah.
Anybody that says that ain't going. You got to say something like, I don't know, I'm hoping. I'm praying. I'm wishing. But see, it says here, God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son.
And,
hallelujah.
Yes, indeed.
That is.
Not in you.
Yeah.
Not in how hard you're trying.
That's right.
The life is in his Son. Mm. Wow. And it says, he who has the Son
has
the life.
Yeah.
The life, yeah.
See, there's no guessing in that.
Amen.
It's simple. He who has the Son has the life.
Hallelujah.
He who doesn't have the Son doesn't have life. There's no guessing. Do you have the Son? You got life.
Tell it.
If you don't have the Son, you don't got life.
Tell it.
You can be a good person, but you ain't got life.
Hallelujah.
You're a dead good person.
Hallelujah.
You're a separated good person.
Well.
Because you don't have the Son. He who has the Son has the life.
Jesus.
He who does not have the Son does not have life.
Amen.
No guessing.
No guessing.
The operative word is the Son.
Yes.
Jesus is God's last word, man's final chance to get right with God. There is no getting right with God without Jesus. Doesn't happen that way. But that person's such a good person. Do they have the Son? I can't believe that God wouldn't accept that. Do they have the Son? No one comes to the Father, Jesus said, but by me. He has the Son, has life. He does not have the Son. This is the Son of God. This is life. Son of God, eternal life, the package. You got one, you got the other. Eternal life is in the Son. Eternal life is in the Son.
Amen. Amen.
Okay? I think I got it wrong. This is the Son. This is eternal life. Eternal life in the Son. If you have the Son, you have life.
Amen.
Dina has life. You know why? She's got the Son.
Amen. Amen.
But if Dina does not have the Son, where is the life? Well, the life is in the Son.
Right.
Take away the Son, you take away the life.
Right.
Because the life is in the Son.
Amen.
And then he goes on to say in verse 12, I write these things to you who believe in the Son of God in order that you may know. Isn't that great?
Yes. Beautiful. Beautiful.
Thank you, Lord. You want me to know it.
Yes.
You want me to know it.
Yes.
You don't want me to walk around uncertain about that.
Right.
You want me to be rejoicing that my name is written in heaven. You want me to have absolute 100% certainty that I have eternal life.
Yes. Thank you, Father.
See, that's how I can rejoice in it, because nothing's going to separate me from it. Nothing can change that. I know y'all love me. But if all of y'all got up and threw your hands up in disgust and said, oh, that baby, I just can't stand him no more. I'm out of here. I'm never coming back. I still got life.
Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You don't go out of here with the Son.
Right.
Taking the Son from me.
Exactly. Say that, Pastor. Say that.
Rejoice that your names are. You see, that's the most precious joy. Because it is the only certain joy.
Right.
And it is the only unchanging joy that we have. That's it. Everything else is going to change. Your body's going to change. Your relationships
Jesus,
are going to change. Even the best of your job is going to change. Your house is going to change.
Wow.
Your hair is going to change. Everything is going to change.
Yes, sir.
But this is changeless.
Yes, it's changeless. Hallelujah, Jesus.
So don't let all that other stuff creep
Thank
in.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.
And overshadow
your
joy.
Yeah. Thank you, Father.
That is based on the eternal life that you have. And this is not just eternal life when you get to heaven.
Yeah.
This is not what it's talking about. It's not just when you, because eternal life, John 17 tells us, eternal life is knowing Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
That's it. What is eternal life? Jesus said, this is eternal life. That they may know Jesus Christ, whom you have sent.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Praise.
That's
some
good stuff
there.
Good God Almighty. Mm-hmm.
Thank you,
Lord.
Thank you. Yep,
you can stop right there. That's it.
I'm going to say it. That's enough.
Yeah. Hallelujah, Jesus.
This morning, if you this morning are not 100% certain, I'm asking everyone here to close your eyes and bow your heads right now. And I'm going to ask, if you are here this morning and you are not 100% certain that you have eternal life, every eye closed and every head bowed, I want you to raise your hand. If you are not 100% certain this morning.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus.
Father, we thank you this morning.
Yes, we do.
Lord, I thank you so much, Father. Lord, I thank you so much.
Lord, my response to you is, Lord, I am so sorry.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
I am so sorry that you had to suffer in order to save me from my sins. But I am so grateful that you were willing to do it with pleasure. What was necessary to rescue me from the domain of darkness and to bring me into the kingdom of your beloved Son. Grant that our joy this week, this month, would be rooted in what cannot change. In the precious name of Jesus.